Really leave it open to comments and questions from you folks, because we want to learn as much about your non-English or the non-English communities and the non-Wikipedia communities as much as possible. So we proposed this panel a while back because we really never had as many folks to put on this panel about covering the community. And at this point, we have external organizations or external news publications trying to describe what happens in the vibrant Wikimedia community. And we also have internal existing community members handling a lot of the reporting of what's going on. So we thought this would be a great way to introduce some of these things. Our panelists, to my left here, Phoebe Ayers from The Signpost, Phoebe, and also the author of a book called How Wikipedia Works. We'll show you that in a second. Liam Wyatt here on my left, my partner in podcasting at Wikipedia Weekly. Over there we have Noam Cohn at the New York Times. Many of you have read his stories. He's blogged this conference for many years now, so you might have seen this on the Bits blog on New York Times. And he also is the Wikimedia beat reporter for the newspaper, pretty much. Matthias might join us in a bit. I'm not sure where he is right now. Jay Walsh, who you all may know already, is the Wikimedia Foundation communications head. What is your formal title? Communications. All right. Head of communications. And we thought he'd be great to give us some feedback on how the foundation has viewed the news reporting on what goes on there and what the foundation does to try to get its message out into the public and to the community. So just to quickly give you a rundown, if you do not know of the publications or the outlets so far, many of them can be found on English Wikipedia right now, although probably appropriately it should be moved off to something like Meta. But number one, probably the outlet that most people will have read before is Wikipedia Signpost. Really, really good stuff. It's a weekly newsletter, as you can see here, of news that happens within the community, but also foundation news, right? So you see here when Wikipedia is in the news in some major way, you'll see the clipping here in the Wikipedia Signpost. You also have something that is a regular issue called the Report on Lengthy Litigation. So this is about the arbitration and the problem cases in the community. And then other kind of operational news. Really kind of required reading if you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what is happening in the community. Let's go back to Keynote here for a second. We also have Wikipedia Weekly Podcast. That's the one that Liam and I produce. We'll just show you that quickly. He'll describe more about what happens there. Let me use my fingers here. The Wikipedia Weekly Podcast right there. Well, we can play it in a second. Goodness, how am I get back here? Too many tabs. Okay, Wiki Voices, if you haven't seen this, this is kind of a grassroots kind of a podcast, an audio program mainly hosted by Durova, who you may know as one of the folks who works in Wikimedia Commons quite a bit in restoration. They actually produce more stuff than we do at the podcast, but it's a more informal basis. If you don't know about it, Open Wiki Blog Planet is a really nice aggregator of many Wikipedians who blog on the internet. So if you don't know what a blog planet is, it basically doesn't produce any content. It just goes off and grabs new posts from various other blogs, and it's all published in one space. Here, so this is the one here. You can see all the folks that it's grabbing feeds from are listed on the right-hand side there. And this one you can self-subscribe to. Is that right, Phoebe, Liam?
Yes, you can. You can add yourself. There's a link on the side.
Right, so you can add yourself to this list, and it's a pretty cool... Yeah, that's the open part, the kind of one-stop shopping for all the significant Wikimedians who are blogging about issues of the community. And they won't always be about the community. There's Gerard's. Gerard, are you here? But you can see all kinds of stuff related to Wikimedia or not related to Wikimedia, but usually relevant to what's going on. And then there's also one run by the Wikimedia Foundation called Planet Wikimedia. It's also an aggregator of different blog posts out there as well.
And that one is the official one in that you have to submit your blog to be subscribed, but it's also in different languages. There's different language planets besides English.
Right, right. So you can see it looks very similar, but you need to be approved on that one. Okay. All right, so those are some of the outlets that you should be familiar with, but we're also, during the Q&A, really interested in hearing what other communities have to keep on top of what's going on. Okay. So there's books out there, How Wikipedia Works by Phoebe, Wikipedia Revolution by myself, Wikipedia, The Missing Manual by John Broughton. News outlets, ones that seem to regularly publish about Wikipedia stuff, The Guardian, The Register, notoriously The Register, The New York Times, and a whole bunch of other folks. So the question we have for the panel today, and for folks out there, if you have solutions, where do you find interesting stories about the community? You know, it's the projects run far and wide, different languages. Month to month, the place where conversation happens might be on a wiki, it might be on a discussion list, it might be an IRC, it might happen on a blog post where there's a bunch of comments about stuff. How do you take the pulse of this community? It's really quite tough, and that's something I hope the people on the panel can help find out. Where are the interesting people? Determine what to cover. What do you cover and what do you not cover in this community? It's hard to figure out sometimes, right? How do you portray things accurately and not just from your own perspective, right? A lot of us involved with the publishing side are actually longtime members of the community, are involved with some projects out there. Can we take that NPOV principle and do we apply the NPOV principle to our reporting and to our advocacy in Wikimedia projects? And how do you represent the complex ecosystem and the community that we see, even just at this conference, to the outside world? So explaining policy, accumulated culture, how do you explain arbitration, for example, to the outside world, inclusionism, deletionism, and each experience is individual, depending on when you arrived in the project and what projects you're interested in. Okay. So I thought these are just some of the critical issues I wanted to throw up here, and then I'll hand it over to Jay Walsh, who has to leave a little bit earlier to... You don't have to leave now. Okay, it's all gone. Good. Then we can have a more involved discussion then. Some of the common things, at least I've run into, and we want to hear from folks on the panel, the meaning of editor and administrator. Almost always when you report in the mainstream press the word editor and administrator, people kind of portray their own ideas as to what these words mean. And it may take you a paragraph or two to explain the culture, but you don't always have that space in a newspaper article or in a blog post. So is this a problem long-term when we speak of editors? And that's often a problem I have. People think editors are people who never write. They just, you know, change other people's work, right? How powerful is an administrator? There's always been disputes in news stories about Wikipedia. Are administrators, you know, the folks with the mop and bucket that do menial tasks, or are they the all-powerful ones who get to determine what happens in the community? And, you know, depending on the audience, you're going to write these things differently. And what would you like to see better coverage of, both folks in the panel and in the audience? So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Jay. No, I'm going to do Phoebe first. And maybe, Phoebe, you can tell us a little bit about working with Signpost and writing a book about Wikipedia.
Sure. And I'm going to plug something that you forgot on your list, the Wikizine. It's wikizine.org. It came back to life, and it's in Spanish also. So that's very good. The Wikizine is another community publication, irregular newsletter, they call it, and they cover stories from all over the foundation, all the different communities. So my name is Phoebe Ayers. I have worked on two projects that I want to talk about briefly today before we get into questions, and I really want to hear from all of you who have worked on similar things. I wrote a book with Charles Matthews called How Wikipedia Works. And this is a combination of things. I have a copy, but not with me. So if you've ever seen it, you know it's a very large book. It is appropriate as a doorstop. But what we were hoping it would be was a reference manual for Wikipedia, and also an introduction for beginning editors. So an introduction to the community, an introduction to how to edit. So everything from how to add square brackets around words to make links, to how policies work, and how to get involved in discussions, and what to do if your article gets deleted, and also what are the other Wikimedia projects out there in the world. So I sat down to write this book. I thought, okay, I know a lot about Wikipedia. We can probably pull this together. There's a lot of existing help documentation out there about Wikipedia. And we thought, all right, between the two of us and Ben Yates, who did the illustrations and helped out with the text as well, between the three of us, Charles Matthews is an English Wikipedian, for those who don't know him. between us, we had something like 200,000 edits and a combined maybe 12 years of experience working on Wikipedia. But what I realized is, despite that, we personally had only experienced a tiny, tiny portion of the site, right? Wikipedia is so enormous, so huge, that it's only ever possible to see a fraction of it. So there's something like 50 policies now and several hundred guidelines on the English Wikipedia alone. There's something like 10,000 help pages. And that's leaving aside all the help pages on Meta and MediaWiki.org and all the other projects and the Wikimedia Foundation. So we had this massive material to sort through and figure out, what do we present for a new editor? What do you need to tell people about how Wikipedia works in a nutshell? And I was terrified writing that book, because I felt like, all right, I know this, but how do I make sure that I portray Wikipedia accurately to the outside world? And how do I let people know how they can participate without it being colored by my own personal experiences, which may or may not be everyone's experiences, right? Because all of us, when we come to the site, when we come to the project, we all have a different experience. You might write an article and it might get deleted the next day, or it might not. Or you might get in an argument with somebody else, or you might not. And so how do we talk about how Wikipedia works? So that's my question for everyone on the panel, is how do we convey Wikipedia accurately and fairly, and with understanding that whatever we know about the site is necessarily limited. The other project I've worked on is the Wikipedia Signpost, which, as Andrew showed you, is a community newsletter. It comes out every week. It was started in 2005, I believe, by Michael Snow, who's the current chair of the board. So Michael is a longtime English Wikipedian. He thought it would be cool to have a newsletter just sort of summarizing community events and community goings on for the internal English Wikipedia community, a page that you could go to see news. So we started this newsletter. He was the editor-in-chief for several years. Then RAL315 took over it and was the editor for maybe 2 or 3 years. And currently the editor-in-chief is Sage Ross, user Rage Sauce. and this year, I've been working on the Signpost for about a year now. And this year, we've tried to expand our coverage of community events and expand our coverage of foundation news particularly. And so the Signpost comes in these 6 sections every week, plus some special stories usually. News and Notes, which is just a summary of community news and goings on. The Discussion Report sometimes, which is a new feature trying to summarize discussions on the English Wikipedia, which is a losing battle. You'll note its acronym is DRAMA. We have a report about the arbitration committee, about arbitration cases. We have a report about featured article lists, what articles and pictures were featured this week. And we have a tech report summarizing the technical goings on, because there's this whole universe of technical news as well every week. And then we write special stories about, you know, this week at Wikimania, I'm hoping that we can have a good story about Wikimania. So I've been working on News and Notes. And I started actually writing the Signpost section last fall, because I figured I give a lot of talks about Wikipedia to the outside world. I teach Wikipedia a lot, and I talk about it to groups in my profession and outside groups as well. And writing News and Notes was a good way to force myself to keep up with community news. It was a good way to stay in touch with what was happening in Wikipedia and Wikimedia. It's really fun, but it's also very challenging, because there are so many sources of news about Wikimedia, right? There are. So to write News and Notes every week, I usually check Foundation L, which is the foundation mailing list, WikiENL, which is the English Wikipedia mailing list, Twitter and Identica, where people post their tweets, the Open Wiki Blog Planet, the Closed Wiki Blog Planet, the Wikizine, Wikipedia Weekly, the Village Pump, various and sundry other discussion forums on the English Wikipedia, the meta pages for news, what else? There's at least half a dozen places that I have to go to even scratch the surface of what's happening in the community. And invariably, people post on the tip line. We have an open tip submission system. Invariably, people post and say, did you hear about this thing that happened over on our community page, you know, either within the English Wikipedia or on some other Wikipedia? And I have no idea, right? Of course, I don't know. And then, not to mention, there's all the other projects. I don't know what happens on Commons. I don't know what happens in Wikiversity, what their news is. So just the sheer act of gathering news about Wikipedia is really difficult because there's so much of it. So for the internal community, for us, I want to make sure that people in the English Wikipedia know more or less what's going on and that they get news about things that might be interesting. I'm also interested in how our panelists get stories to write about for the outside world, especially you, Noam. So that's my take on these issues. I'm hoping Jay can speak to some stuff, and then we can go on with the rest of the panelists and hopefully take questions, because I know a lot of you have worked with the press and have written about Wikipedia for our community as well. So thanks. Well, do you have to go?
Okay. And I thought I'd just point out one thing on the signpost. It was really, is this you working? I don't know. I thought this was really cool to see this. Full disclosure, your writer has participated in this debate. Signpost. This television schedules when you're talking about news and notes. And, you know, in the journalism field where I teach, there's been essays going around saying transparency is the new objectivity. And I think this is a good example of that, right? Where someone who's certainly not objective reveals his biases and his involvement, and suddenly the credibility goes up quite a bit when you read this, right? Whether it's neutral or not, we don't know, but I think it's a big step.
Just to push back a little bit, transparency may be the new objectivity, but this kind of is an argument for why you do need objectivity, because it's one thing to disclose, and it's sort of a thing that's gone on for many years in journalism. People will go, full disclosure, my agent is the same agent as the book I'm reviewing or something. Mm-hmm. And part of you wants to say, okay, you shouldn't be reviewing the book. You know, I mean, there's just to push back, that there is a reason why full disclosure isn't the same as sort of having no conflict, because you can still disclose it, but it still colors what you do. Right. Not meaning to criticize the signpost thing, but I guess I'm sort of going to stick up a little bit for the notion that the role of an objective journalist is still important, and maybe there might not be a way to fund it in the modern world we live in, but that hopefully there will be a way, because it is important to have people who don't have a stake in the project at all, whether it's disclosed or not, to actually, you know, apply critical thinking and storytelling to that task. So anyway,
with you. It's not an absolute rule. Absolutely.
Better disclose or not.
Yep.
That's a big fish. that stuff. I don't have a whole lot. I want to leave this open because literally the people who wrote the books on Wikipedia are here, and Noam is great work. My role in this world is not uncomplicated. It's fairly normal compared to other people who work in corporate communications and public relations. I have a really weird job, and it's wonderful because I don't have a large team of people. Other top 10 or top 50 websites, their budgets would dwarf our entire budget three times for the foundation. But there's a simple principle that I work with. One is to honor the incredible work that, because it's not enough to build the encyclopedia, to build all the world's knowledge in a bunch of languages and a couple million articles. You also report on the creation of that process. So it's extraordinary, and it's fascinating to me because it feels very similar, it's an internal world of journalism, and for me it's like candy. So thank you for doing it, and thank you for aggregating it and building it, and thank you everybody who participates in that. I work with the chapters globally around the world who have representatives in public relations, some with deep experience and some who are sort of new to the world of communications. They work with local journalists in their own language. Itzik, did I see Itzik come in here? Yeah, so we were chatting this morning about how I don't speak Hebrew. And so our capacity as a global organization is absolutely dependent on people like Itzik and through all of our chapters. So that's sort of the the way that we do our work to support the telling of stories. It's imperfect, and it never will be perfect, because that's sort of how wonderful distributed projects work. So when it comes to me and my job with working with the stories, I mean, I do want to tell the stories of the foundation, and there's the press room. So there are the stories of the foundation in terms of the big decisions we make, recent announcements about funding, people coming and going. That's just basic work where we have to formally kind of put those pieces together, work with partners to provide that information. We're working on an annual report. I'm working on the next year's annual report, which is sort of a memorial of all the things that took place in the year and sort of talk about where we're moving forward. We started our blog last year, over a year and a half, now almost 2 years now, and it's grown exponentially, and it's a heck of a lot of fun, and it's a place where we can easily talk about what everybody else is doing. From it's just another way to sort of continue that loop of the work of the Signpost and others. But the big piece is working, you know, the bigger piece is working with people like Noam, because they have access to millions and millions of other people who want to hear about the stories. They craft the stories, they build them, and they make them make more sense. And it's not, you know, I want to help, and I want to work with the team that we have to help do that. So part of that is just helping other people know how to help people like Noam, which is, you know, packaging information well, taking the stories well, knowing where all the information is. Oh, go to the stats.wikimedia.org, you know, like, and good luck with that. But there it is. It's all there. We're totally transparent. And my MO is pretty simple. I don't try to represent the community. I think that would be ridiculous to try to represent what the aggregate world of volunteers. And we, you know, Noam doesn't do this, but journalists often ask, well, why did Wikipedia do that? Why did you delete that article? And why, you know, and there isn't an answer. So part of my job is to spend a huge amount of time educating people on how this system works. Dead simple questions like, Wikipedia is run by volunteers. It's a nonprofit. And I like doing that over and over again, because that process is rewarding, and it's you educate one person, they tell five other people, and you sort of spread the word. Katrine, there from the German chapter, is my counterpart working, and she's nodding because she also does this, auf Deutsch. So we don't represent, it's ridiculous to say that's what's going on with this community. Oh, they did that because of this. No, I like to use non-specific language, which is a little bit weird. I'm not used to that in my background. We say, yeah, that's why we do this thing. But the reality is I use non-specifics. I try to talk about what people are doing. And I say, go look. Go to the talk page. It's hard to report on this, but I can't make this easy for you, because it's a movement. We're communicating a movement, not a single product. It's not Google. It's not Yahoo. It's a movement. And the more I talk about that, the great journalists I work with who care about that grow to learn and understand. Not everyone does. And so you use your energy sparingly, and you focus on brilliant people who want to do that. And on that note, there's Noam Cohen who does that very thing and has been doing it for a while.
That's nice of you to say. I've actually gotten quite a lot of feedback about the Flag Revisions article, so I'll take the praise when it comes, I appreciate it. And I'll get in a little bit of that as being one of the challenges. I think the Flag Revisions article, which, you know, had an interesting origin at the paper, and is an interesting example of how complicated it is to cover Wikipedia, and sort of how it's hard to please many different masters. And I consider you all part of, you know, one of my masters. I mean, I'm certainly not trying to never write anything inaccurate, and I really take very seriously the feedback, and I seek it out. Through Google, you can find what the horrible things people say about you and the nice things they say about you. And so I do that regularly to sort of check on it. I was sort of asked to raise the question, how do you decide what to write about? And I guess I would just walk through my own experience. This is like my fourth Wikimania, and it's changed a lot. The answer to that question has changed a lot. Basically, you know, it went from being the story of Wikipedia, or the Wikimedia Foundation, was about the oddity of it. That, you know, what an odd thing. You know, I guess one article someone told me that summed it up best was that, you know, Wikipedia only works, you know, in practice. It doesn't work in theory. Now, that's a weird thing to say to someone. It's a weird thing as a newspaper to write that, because people want you to explain why things work, not, you know, not sort of say, oh, no answer. It just does, you know, trust me. So that's, so part of it was just the oddity, like, how does this thing even work? Why, you know, why do people use it? I mean, believe me, the skepticism at a newspaper about Wikipedia is so high you can't even believe it. They really view it as the enemy, as a sign of our declining standards in the world. I mean, that was the way it was, I would say, 4 years ago or 3 years ago. It's just why do you even give them any attention? It's like writing about a gossip site or something. obviously, so that when that was the case, it was a lot more, there's a saying in America about, you know, when a dog bites a man, that's not really a story, right? But when a man bites a dog, that's news, right? So a lot of what I would do would be sort of the man bites dog story, just, you know, that it even works is sort of part of it, you know, that it's global and that it's in all these different languages. I remember writing about Swahili and, you know, the gentleman that Jimmy Wales talked about, I did a profile of him. Just again, like, wow, there's a Swahili website. What does that even mean? He's not in Africa, but it's read there. It's just the whole, they're going to be, every language in the world is going to be there. It's just, that was sort of part of the oddity of it. Likewise, notorious sort of stories became articles, right? The Siegenthaler episode, right, where there was a very disparaging article about this man, you know, became a very big story. The SJ story, I remember, the other SJ, I guess I should call him. And that was a big story for me as well. The idea, you know, because the New Yorker was wrapped up, this prominent magazine in America was wrapped up because they did a profile that sort of quoted this person who lied about his credentials. And that raised all the questions about what are credentials anyway and why would Wikipedia value them. And so those were the kind of stories that were that would write. The more oddity, you know, man bites dog, person bites dog story. As time has shifted, you know, the Times and all the other media outlets recognize how important Wikipedia is. It's not the same hurdle anymore. I don't have to sort of say, wow, look at this strange thing going on. Can I write some weird story about it? Instead, it's like, this is hugely important. And of course, right, we want to know every change. You know, the war, the change about flag revisions, you know, arguably could have been a page one story, which, you know, the New York Times, it's much more read online than as a newspaper, and it's the print is a big question. But being on the front page of the New York Times is still a very, very big deal. And the idea that they were very seriously considering what you all think maybe wasn't even a change at all or a minor modification, thinking this is really important to our society that this is going on, is a sign of how important Wikipedia is. So I have a much lower threshold to cross to convince them that there's a story. Think about the things the things I'd written about recently. One of them, the Rorschach test, which I guess hasn't come up at all, the posting of those images on Wikipedia, that was a front page story. And that was, and of course, you can imagine the way newspapers work late at night. I was called right before the story was gonna run saying, we did a Google search and those images are all over the internet. You know, why is this a story? And I had to sort of say, well, Wikipedia is much more read. It's one thing to sort of seek it out. It's another thing to sort of have it be on a site everyone's going to go look at. And so, but that was a case in point where almost the Wikipedia-ness of it made it a front page story more than the Rorschach test part of it did. Likewise, when Google News started linking to Wikipedia articles, that was a story. And again, didn't have to cross a very high threshold. Likewise, we were, you know, Andrew and I were talking about this David Rode episode, which hasn't really come up much, but was a hugely important thing at the New York Times, which just to quickly summarize that there was one of the correspondents for the Times, happened to be on book leave, but he's a very esteemed person, he's a great person, he's a friend, I would say, was kidnapped in Afghanistan. And part of the way to sort of protect him, the New York Times tried to have everyone not write about it. And it was an amazing thing in the internet age to think that the New York Times could achieve that. And they arguably did. And part of the way they achieved it was to stop Wikipedia from writing about it as well. And it was controversial. I'd love to hear people's thoughts about that because it really relates to Wikipedia as being, again, a responsible media outlet and not just an anarchic place. And part of me likes the anarchic part of it, but it's clearly a change that they were able to. I was shocked. I knew about David being missing because I work at the Times, and I went to the Wikipedia article, honestly, to see what, I did it anywhere. Maybe I was somehow tipped to do it, and I sort of saw in real time that person, whoever it was, I'd love to talk to them, who kept trying to say, by the way, he's been kidnapped, we should write about that, and having him shut down in the most sort of arbitrary way, and he kept, like, you could tell something was wrong there, because, like, he was just like, why are you not listening to me? He's been kidnapped, let me show you it, and I knew something was awry, I couldn't write about it. But it was that's another case. That story is all about Wikipedia's influence. There's nothing that, you know, was a huge story of the New York Times and only is about Wikipedia as a powerful force. So, I mean, that's another story that is just, that it's changed. It's no longer Wikipedia is an odd thing. It's like Wikipedia is a powerful player and it should be covered like Google or Yahoo or fill in the blank. So that's how I would say that the landscape's changed. And quickly to summarize how I cover it, or do you think it was enough of that? How I cover it, first of all, Matthias is there and he's not on the panel, but he's a major way I help cover it. He's a constant source of, you know, tips, information, thoughts, and I hope I'm not outing him by saying that. Likewise, Wikizine is really helpful, and all the people who aggregate all the material is really helpful. I there's so much to cover, and I'm going to be looking for things that are odd that are going to have a general interest, you know, like the Rorschach or things that some of people can, an entry point for people. That's, I guess, the way I would describe it, how you, the job of a journalist. I think when you look at what's changing in the landscape of media today, it's, you know, you wonder what is the role of an objective, you know, not journalist. And it's partly it's to be objective and have an ask hard questions. The other thing is to tell stories that people want to read and knowing your audience. And thirdly, is to tell it shorter and tighter than other people. I feel like whenever I doubt whether there's a role for professional journalists, I think I look at blogs that are fully informative and more informed than I am and full of information, but they're told so long and not in a direct way that I always think there's a role for people who are professionally are supposed to tell stories in a short, tight, engaging way. So that's what I try to do. So likewise, Jay is a huge source for navigating this world. It's important to have, I know that no one speaks for Wikipedia or, you know, the movement, but you need someone to just sort of navigate you and sort of be on top of things and just can sort of direct you on your way. And likewise, the fact you can directly email with Wikipedians so easily when you're logged in is just a huge advantage. I've been able to reach people very easily who are engaged in controversies, including the doctor who posted the Rorschach, you know, or linked to the Rorschach images, who now is having his license, you know, examined because he did it. And I only found him through the email service of Wikipedia. So that's the transparency in the debates is all huge. Likewise, stats.grok.se, which I use all the time. I didn't get real numbers. Sorry. I'm saying there are so many tools, and it's so transparent, and that both the debates are public, and the statistics are public, and the people are largely public and can be reached. So that makes the job so much easier. I would say the challenge is that it's so hard to know what's really going on because it's so many people. I would like, among questions I would raise is, for example, I've been coming now 3 or 4 years to these events. I couldn't, if someone asked me, what is Jimmy Wales' role here? I could not answer it. It's a timeline for me because every year I come, that's one of the questions I'm always thinking. You know, is he a benevolent dictator? Is he just a spokesperson more than Jay? And the fact that I can never answer any of these questions shows me, it gives you humility that I really have no, I don't think anyone really can understand a movement, and it's just sort of a mess in a good way. It's just hard to get your hands on it. And I think that's why I have to always be accepting that people are going to find fault with what I do and only try to do the best way I can. I think that is, I would throw out one last thing in a kind of a wiki spirit. Let's say that the thing I'm gonna write about for Monday, I'm thinking, is about the role of the 5-year project and the consultants that are here, which I think is sort of a first time. And I've spent a lot of time talking with Jelly, who's helping on the PR side and the communication side, and Eugene, who's helping with the 5-year project, and the people from the Bridgespan group. And I don't know how to sort of, I'm open to views on what that means. Is it a significant shift? Is it a natural growth? Would it be artificial to expect Wikipedia, you know, the Wikimedia Foundation not to change? Or is it something that really worth noting that basically here's a thing that's achieved so much on a certain path and now it's taking a different path? So, I feel like these are really hard questions I'm always wrestling with, and it's like, how do you know what the group thinks? And that's where my head's at now. So I'd love to hear people's thoughts on that and how, you know, Wikipedia's covered. Thanks very much.
Super, yeah. So, I mean, that's a great question, right? Even internally, even on the signpost, even as editors, flagged revisions or the strategy plan are great examples, right? I've been following flagged revisions on the English Wikipedia for a couple of years now. Well, James says 5, but I've only been following them for 2. I have no idea what's going on. I know where the discussions are. I know who has been involved. I read the mailing lists. I talk to Brian. I have no clue, right? And so I can only imagine how difficult it is to get involved. So
there's a lot of weird folk knowledge in the community that you just need to pick up from talking to people constantly. Liam, you can talk about your experiences with everything but Wikipedia Weekly.
Yeah, I think in response to your last sentence about how do you know what the group thinks, we're trying to avoid in internal discussions about the community, avoid groupthink.
Right.
That we can, I mean, Wikipedia Weekly, we refer to the signpost.
Right.
And the signpost refers to Wikipedia Weekly. So how do we avoid having our own internal understanding of what is happening in the community, independent of the community? And that's just something that has to be, have to be constantly aware that there's no way that you can possibly know everything that's going on, let alone try and cover it in any sort of comprehensive way. So I just sort of had a list of random points I think I should go through. As was mentioned before, Andrew and I and others over time do the Wikipedia Weekly podcast. It's about 3 years old now, and it is not weekly. It attempted to be weekly, but it is not weekly. And that's an attempt to do a different mode of communication. The signpost had existed beforehand, and there were blogging was increasingly popular. Microblogging didn't exist at the time, and mailing lists had existed and were already full of noise. And so back then, let alone now. So we decided to try and have a different mode of communication by audio for a different kind of audience. You can get into much more detailed discussions and have much more interaction. So unlike the signpost, Wikipedia Weekly does not try to be neutral. We actively have our own opinions and try and represent what the issues are, but actively insert our own point of view into those discussions. And we think that's an important way of doing the editorial aspect of Wikipedia Weekly, of covering the discussion. It's not enough for everyone to just simply discuss issues in a neutral way, but actually to have different points of view raised and argued forcefully. I mean, Andrew and I intentionally take opposing positions on things on the podcast simply to just get those issues raised and debated. I also...
Performing
to a degree.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays the...
Well, not really performing.
Well, we believe what we say, but...
Unleash our biases, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. The signpost does try to be neutral. I mean, we're not professional journalists in that we don't do investigative reporting very much, but we try and be neutral, so...
Mm. I mean, Andrew gets his pessimist hat on, and I get my shiny optimist hat on,
yeah.
And then back in real world, we're not neither of us are that extreme. I also did an academic thesis about Wikipedia for academics. So that was not a public thing, but it was nevertheless discussing the community. It wasn't a technical thing. It was a historical and sociological thesis. So it was discussing the community for a completely different audience. And so talking about Wikipedia internally is an entirely different beast to talking about Wikipedia externally, as I'm sure you all know. And the discussion, as was mentioned before, 2 years in journalism, 2 years ago, is an entirely different kind of discussion as you have now. Equally in academia 2 years ago, people were saying, well, that's not even an important thing to talk about. Why would you have a thesis about Wikipedia? And now it's, well, what kind of thesis are you going to have about Wikipedia? Equally, academics are no longer saying, let's ban it. They're saying, how can we control it or use it effectively? And that's a much more nuanced position. I think nuance is the word, that there's, across various ways of communicating about this project, there is an increasing amount of nuance and nuanced understanding about what we do. We no longer have to talk in black and white. We have a few minutes left. The meaning of editor is an important one. Equally, the meaning of user. I get asked all the time, do you use Wikipedia? And that means different things to different people. Academics, they mean, do you cite Wikipedia? Wikipedians, they mean, do you have a user account? Journalists would mean, generally speaking, would mean, do you read Wikipedia? And so we have our own terminology, which we use internally, admin, which means an entirely different thing when you're talking to the rest of the world. So it's really important. I do media for Wikimedia Australia, as is, you know, talking to the press, as well as internal discussions, and we have to use an entirely different vocabulary. When I would say to the community, what about A, B, or C, the response comes back, monkey. You know, it's impossible to work out what's going on internally, but you have to kind of summarize that discussion using different terms to the public. And finally, the people, in terms of talking about the community doesn't know, many people in the community don't know that they are in the community. Not just people who use Wikipedia and don't consider themselves to be Wikipedians, but I went recently to a meetup in Sydney where many people had come to their first meetup because we used a different mode of communication, the GeoIP notice. First time they'd come to a meetup, they didn't know there was a community. Only, there was only because there was this message saying, we're meeting in Sydney. They didn't know there was a community. They didn't know there were meetups. They didn't know there was a meetup page. They didn't know there was a chapter or such a thing as chapters, let alone internal media like Signpost and Wikipedia Weekly. So how do you cover that? And how do you cover a community that doesn't know it's existing? And how do you get more people involved in that story?
Thanks. Since we don't have much time, what I would like to do is if people have questions or comments, could you keep it very short? I'm just going to collect a bunch of them, and then we can discuss, if we have time, some of these issues. Okay? Does anyone have any questions for the board or comments about the covering the community? Yes.
Right, yeah. So what, you know, how does the Signpost report the David Road case? Well, we didn't know what was happening, for one thing, but there have been other incidents where there was a choice whether or not to report something. There's often choices on whether to report things that are might be damaging to the foundation or to the projects. I mean, what we reported after the fact was not just that it had happened, but also the discussion and the reports and the news stories from you guys and all the other universe of information about that, which is an equally interesting story to me. But yeah, Matthias, I don't know what the answer to that question is or should be for the Signpost.
Okay. So you're just going to collect some more stuff. Okay, Matthias?
Sorry for being late here. I have a question for Noam specifically. I've seen that, for example, there is a paper from AP, an internal paper that somehow identifies Wikipedia as a competitor. It would be safe to assume that people in your organization, people in similar media, are starting to think the same. Do you see direct implications on the way media will be treating Wikipedia in their journalism? Right now, in the upcoming future, you said the relationship of you to Wikipedia is manifold, and you were talking about different masters. I know that media is reporting about itself, its own kind, differently, usually. Are we becoming you?
Okay, hold on for 1 second. Any other questions? We just want to collect them first. Okay, good. Noam?
Okay. Matthias, I would say it's an inverse relationship to what you think, which is that the more that media outlets think of Wikipedia as a, well, I shouldn't say what you think, but the more that they think of it as a competitor, the more respect they give it. So it's actually the opposite, that it's like, wow, you're a player, so now we take you more seriously and give you more respect. Whereas initially there was a lot of contempt, and you know that kind of cynicism and contempt reflects in how you would cover something, so it becomes very easy to be glib and sort of say, why would anyone use it? And so actually I think the fact that AP, it's, you know, it's the highest form of flattery to want to imitate it, and New York Times is trying to imitate Wikipedia with these topics pages, so I think in essence it kind of demands more respect. I do think maybe there is a sense of, like, you know, they have a financial interest or they want to see it fail. I don't think that reflects in the coverage. I really think journalists are a little better than that, that they're not really some journalists. I think, you know, being in America, there's Fox News, and Murdoch really does use his empire to affect his business interests. Being in Argentina and realizing that Clarín uses its paper to reflect its business interests, I don't want to act like it's impossible that would happen, but I really feel the New York Times, it's not trying to bring down a competitor. I think they know it's impossible to do it anyway.
Okay. Any other questions from folks? If we don't have time, if you either run or you know of a news operation in your wiki community or a best practice that's happening, please do come and tell us. I mean, we're always looking for how this is done in other communities. We don't think we're the best of all of what happens. We're just the only ones that we know about. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And a plug that the Signpost is always looking for writers too. So, yeah,
One other interesting source I found is academia. It's a different time scale. It's not what's happening this week, but it can often provide a thoughtful. Well, the last time we had a dump, we saw. But particularly Ed Shee's group at Xerox PARC has been doing a lot of really interesting research in this area. Yeah. Actually, one last thing for Noam about your coverage. One of the things I think, or I would be curious to hear your thoughts on, is I totally agree with the value that a professional journalist brings in compressing and telling a story in a punchy way. But what about linking to those deep sources, people who do want to know more about or understand the points of view of the folks who are involved?
You raise an interesting question. I mean, one about linking, which is that the Times is currently going, I hope I'm not speaking out of school here, but they're going out of, the issue of whether to link to Wikipedia articles is itself being debated, and currently the Times doesn't link to Wikipedia articles unless it's entirely, I guess, you know, literally related to the article, but not in a generic way, won't do that, and that's, again, this sort of verifiability issue. So I think there's a lot of pressure to link, because I think it relates to how stories get ranked in search engines, but I don't know. I mean, right now it's done in a very ad hoc way. Truthfully, it's done by reporters. So you're really raising the question, like, how much extra work do I want to do to sort of find the right, you know, scholarly journal or whatnot to have people look at? But I think that's the way things are going, that in essence, even the New York Times will become sort of a collator of information and telling it in a clear, engaging way, and then also leading people to more information. So probably that's where things are going, and maybe there will be teams of people to do that. I don't know. I mean, I think that's part of what the New York Times as a information provider will be providing, I think. I don't know.
There other questions or anything else?
Okay. Yeah. That's it? Okay, very good. I'll do my Richard Stallman impression again. We have stickers, if you're interested. Barn stars.
And postcards.
Yes. All right. Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Yes. Hello, everyone. On the little black notebooks that we gave you, there's a survey on the back. And will you please fill it and put it on a box on the information desk? Thank you very much. It's about the organization of the whole Wikimania. Thank you very much.
We're going to the theater afterwards?
No, you have to put it before going to the theater.
No, but the next session is at the theater.
Yes, okay. On the LBR theater.
So the next session is at the big theater where we were for the keynote.